You know, something big has happened in Nepal right now. And it all started with a ban on social media. Last week, the government of Nepal suddenly blocked 26 major apps. Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, YouTube, X, even LinkedIn and Snapchat. Basically, almost every platform where young people spend their time. The government has said these companies did not register in Nepal and were not following the rules. At first, people thought, okay, maybe it's just another regulation. But for the youth of Nepal, this was the last straw. Because behind this ban, there is a much bigger story. On Monday, September 8th, thousands of young people, many of them still in school uniforms, came out on the streets of Kathmandu. They gathered right outside the parliament, some even tried to storm in. Police used water cannons, tear gas, and then bullets. By nightfall, at least 20 young protesters were dead, and hundreds were injured. The army had to be deployed, and a curfew was declared in the capital. This movement is now being called the Gen Z Revolution of Nepal. Why? Because almost everyone on the streets was under 28 years old. So what pushed this new generation to risk their lives? Well, the social media ban was only the spark. The real fire has been burning for years. Young people in Nepal are tired of seeing the same leaders, Oli, Prachanda, Deoba, all in their 70s, ruling again and again, while the country struggles. Unemployment is high, jobs are scarce, inequality is high, and more than 80% of Nepal's workforce is stuck in informal, low-paying work. That is the reason so many young Nepalese leave the country every year. And then there is corruption. Almost every big leader has allegations. Land scams, fake refugee scams, shady commissions, you name it. People say politics in Nepal has become a family business. Nepo kids and Nepo babies were trending online just before the ban. Youth were posting photos of powerful politicians' children, asking how their luxury lifestyles were funded. So when the government blocked Facebook and Instagram, it wasn't just about losing apps. For young people, it felt like losing their voice, their way to express anger, their chance to hold the powerful accountable. The group that organized Monday's protest is called Hami Nepal. Its chairperson said clearly, this is a response to government actions and corruption. And the message on the streets was simple, stop corruption, not social media. Now this is where the real analysis begins. Hami Nepal, what is this organization? Who are the people behind? Always remember this pattern. There is always an NGO, especially foreign-funded ones, are suspected behind any kind of political coup. Look at Eastern Europe, Serbia 2000, Bulldozer Revolution, Georgia 2003, Rose Revolution, Ukraine 2004, Orange Revolution, and 2014, Euromaidan. Look at Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Syria during Arab Spring 2011. Same has been seen in Myanmar, 2021 coup and earlier unrest. Then Hong Kong protest, 2019. In Sri Lanka, 2022 crisis. Last year in Bangladesh, removal of Sheikh Hasina. Even in Pakistan, Imran Khan's removal. There is always an NGO, especially foreign-funded ones, that are usually behind any kind of political coup. We see the same repeat players like NED, USAID, Freedom House, Open Society Foundation, Ford Foundation. They are always linked directly or indirectly. Now let's look at this Nepali NGO, Hami Nepal. Sudan Gurung is the founder of this NGO, and this information is out in the open that Hami Nepal NGO is the organizer behind this Gen Z protest against the Nepalese government. Now we need to see who funds Hami Nepal NGO. There's always the money trail. Without money, you cannot mobilize such a huge rally and NGOs cannot function. So the financial backing of this NGO comes from various individuals and organizations. But I will point out two particular organizations that will shed some light on what is actually going on. One is the Barbera Foundation, second is the Infinity Holdings. In fact, the chairman of these organizations have been facilitated by the NGO during their annual general meeting. Here is the website, you can read more about it. If you look at Infinity Holdings, Deepak Bhatta is the chairman. Do you know who this guy is and what his company does? He is an arms dealer who was involved in arms procurement for Nepal's armed forces. Plus, he has corruption charges against him for procuring small arms for Nepal police from an Italian company, Beretta, at a price 4 times more than the actual unit price. Then there is this third person, Sulav Agarwal of Shankar Group, who is another financial supporter of Hami Nepal and Sudan Gurung. This guy was even arrested on the charge of black marketing of thermal guns during COVID pandemic. Then there is this doctor called Sandur Ruith. He is well-known eye surgeon in Nepal. In fact, he studied from AIIMS Delhi. He is one of the mentors of Hami Nepal NGO. And he is also the recipient of Ramon Magsaysay Award. And you know about Ramon Magsaysay Award, right? It is like Asia's Nobel Prize, established by Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Whether you know this or not, Rockefeller family's philanthropic and policy networks always had deep connections with the US foreign policy and Cold War strategy. Rockefeller Brothers Fund especially had programs aligned with the US strategy in Asia, aiming to counter communism and promote a pro-American intellectual elite. So Magsaysay Award is usually given to those people who align their work with pro-American interest. In our country, Kejriwal and Ravish Kumar have also got this award, and we all know their vested interest. So Magsaysay Award is a CIA-aligned soft power created to manipulate the society by installing intellectual figures who can push Western interest in Asia. Therefore, Dr. Sandur Ruith works for American interest, and he is also associated with Barbara Foundation. So, now you think about it. If so many shady people are linked with this NGO, then surely some scheme is being cooked up by the Americans. And then we all know that Nepal's Prime Minister Oli is already close to China. And earlier there were even news reports that a Chinese female ambassador had honey-trapped him. That means United States wants to install its own puppet government in Nepal that can push forward American interest. If you look closely, the protest in Nepal seems quite similar to those in Bangladesh, with students leading from the front. In Bangladesh, Sheikh Hasina was forced to flee. And who came to power? Mohammed Yunus, clearly America's choice. I've already made a video on that. Now in Nepal, after PM Oli's resignation, the name being pushed for interim prime minister is rapper-turned-politician Balendra Shah. And interestingly, the student movement is rallying behind him. If you connect the dots, a pattern emerges. Nepal itself isn't strategically vital for the United States. But Washington seems to want a leader who can ride on Gen Z's mood swings. Someone easy to manage. Why? Because keeping Nepal unstable or pliable gives America a vantage point to watch both India and China. Especially at a time when in the recent SCO summit, India and China appear to be drawing closer. And Trump has openly said to China that they have incredible cards that could destroy China. Then recently, US President Trump appointed a 38-year-old Sergio Gore as US ambassador to India and special envoy for South and Central Asia. Now, why has such a young person been appointed as ambassador to India? Is it because the US has run out of older seasoned diplomats? Or is it more about his merits outweighing his age? There's a deeper reason. A younger envoy can resonate more naturally with the rising youth population of the Indian subcontinent. We have already seen how youth-driven movements shaped politics in Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, and even at times in India. So Washington is deliberately sending in someone young to connect better with the new generation that is becoming a decisive political force in this region. And look at his designation, ambassador to India and special envoy for South and Central Asia. That means he is a political operative for this entire region. When someone is appointed as US ambassador to India and simultaneously holds the role of special envoy for South and Central Asia, it signals that he isn't looking at India in isolation. Instead, he's treating India as part of a larger regional framework. And what does that mean? When a country is placed inside a regional grouping, rather than treated as a unique standalone partner, then policies, strategies, and even pressures are often applied to the whole group collectively, not tailored individually. So in such cases, a country's interest is being diluted or shaped according to broader US regional objectives, rather than its own specific bilateral relationship. So anyhow, I have showed you by connecting the dots, US wants to install puppet government in Nepal. Prime Minister Oli Sharma has resigned. Nepal and Bangladesh will now have US puppets. CIA plus ISI will definitely use them to trouble India near chicken's neck. And then Bihar election is around the corner. So, if you look at this whole situation, you may call it a Gen Z revolution, fighting corruption and demanding change. But if you look deeper, it's not just Gen Z. Behind them stands Gen Y, pulling the strings with international funding. And let's be honest, corruption exists everywhere. So why suddenly this wave of awareness all at once? It's not organic. An existing situation was carefully nurtured and then turned into a massive political game. The irony is, those funding these protests are themselves no less corrupt, with vested interest that links all the way back to US foreign policy. Take the example of Hami Nepal. It started as an earthquake relief group, but was steadily nurtured, and today it's being used as a tool to topple a government. Now, whether you see it as right or wrong, that's for you to decide.